Believe in love? I'm sure you do. Do you believe in Muswell Hill? The man sitting opposite me certainly does. And Hornsey as well. Because he's Keith Fawkes and he's the Hornsey Historical Society chairman and he's here with us now. Keith, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, we've been having lots of debates about where is and isn't Hornsey, and you can probably put that to bed, I suspect.
Well, Hornsey as it was really was from the bottom of Muswell Hill right up to Turnpike Lane.
Really? And as far as that?
Yeah, and in fact was one of the longest high streets in the country. Extraordinary.
Wow.
But of course in 1965 all the areas were joined together, Muswell Hill and Crouch End, Fortis Green, and a bit of Highgate, the Hornsey side of Highgate. They were joined to form the went into the borough of Haring
Haringey.
But a little later, Bounds Green and Wood Green were brought in as well. But this was in, that was 1965.
Does that mean there was a loss of identity of Hornsey, or was there a sort of a fracturing? So Muswell Hill came into its own and...
Well, it made a most extraordinary appearance on the map, because it was a very silly thing to do, because it's made a much bigger area, and of course it brought in Tottenham.
Yeah.
I mean, really, nothing in a way to do with us. That's I mean, it's a little bit us and them.
Well, let's look at you as opposed to them.
Yes.
And what was the sort of historic foundations of the area? Was it a separate village? Or?
Yes. Hornsey Village with a medieval parish church, of which only the tower remains now.
Right.
I mean, shortly after, of course, the Hornsey Historical Society was founded, and this was late 1960s, early 70s, Friends of Hornsey Church Tower were formed, and we're sort of sister groups. I mean, many of the founders of the Hornsey Historical Society were, of course, founders of the Friends of Hornsey Church Tower. I mean, when I was a boy... There was talk of demolishing the tower.
Wow.
I mean, can you imagine that?
No.
Demolishing a medieval church tower. Fortunately, enough like-minded people stepped in.
What would have been the economic basis? Would it have been agricultural in those days?
Oh, yes, very much so. Yes, yes, agricultural. And sparsely populated. There was a very, very small early Iron Age occupation in the area. The Romans were there. The Romans had a kiln in Highgate Woods.
Wow.
The Saxons were there. But really, Muswell Hill came into its own in medieval times. And I'm afraid I've rather got onto one of my hobby horses straight away, because Muswell Hill was a pilgrim area.
For what? What was the...
Well, in the 12th century, the Bishop of London gave the nuns of Clerkenwell a farm, and that farm ran along Coney Hatch Lane.
Right.
Now, there were two wells on this farm, and one of them pure water, but the other one mineral water, which was supposed to have had medical powers.
Healing properties.
Yes, healing properties. In fact, Malcolm II, a king of Scotland, why they were there, by the way, is because they were the lords of the manor of Tottenham at the time. Malcolm II took these waters. Didn't do him much good, actually, because he died 2 years later. But what was created was this farm. But then, of course, there was a chapel built, which is the other side of Coney Hatch Lane. And that became a pilgrim site till the Reformation in the 1530s.
When would the area as we perceive it now have first emerged? Would it have been with the coming of the railways?
Well, yes, the coming of the railways, of course, that brought people in. But the two great builders, and in fact we've been talking about Crouch End, was a man called Edmondson, who first built some in Tottenham Lane, built some of the shops and houses that were being talked about in your, by your previous speaker. But then he came to Muswell Hill and developed Muswell Hill into what it is now, which is a marvellous sort of townscape and very much untouched.
And is it, was it very much developed of a piece, because it
looks—it
looks like it's quite ordered compared to most of London, and quite quite uniform.
Exactly, you're absolutely right. It was. He was closely followed by the Collins.
So, what era is that? Would that be early 20th century?
About 1890.
Okay,
and till about, I think he stopped building there in about 1915, something like that. But he was closely followed by the Collins family, who built other parts of Muswell Hill, including the Rookfield estate and some very, very nice flats in Muswell Hill, Fortis Green.
The other end of the area, the sort of Hornsey Rise end, is, was that very different?
Well, it wasn't built by Edmondson. Actually, who built that? I'm not sure, but that was very much more piecemeal.
And has that always been the more, the less kind of, I don't know, elevated area?
Yes.
I mean, physically and both socially.
Yes, absolutely, yes. It was a little more perhaps working class.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there are still big houses there. And I mean, if you go along Hornsey Lane, there are enormous houses that were all built in the sort of 1870s, 1880s.
In the 20th century, would it have been known for specific things, that area? Would there have been industries there, or would there have been crafts, or what would it have been for particularly?
Well, off Hornsey High Street, you see, there were various industries there. Metalworking, there was piano workshops.
Were there?
Yes, oh yeah. But when I was a boy, Hornsey High Street was very much on the decline. It's come up enormously now. And I mean, obviously property prices were very, very low in those days. But it really went into a decline in, let's say, the 60s, 70s, but 80s. But is now, you know, coming up in the world.
And the famous town hall that we've been talking about.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Yes, I mean, that was, it's a tragedy that that is not a town hall anymore. You know, it's been, its future is, I think, still rather sort of in the balance. I mean, it's a wonderful building. Have you been inside?
Yes, it's a fantastic
building. Fantastic.
Very elegant. Very
amazing.
A wonderfully kind of modest modernism.
Yes,
very sort of
absolutely,
restrained.
Absolutely. With marvellous fittings. I mean, it's incredible. And, of course, a theatre there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. When would that last have been there?
The theatre.
The theatre used as a theatre.
Oh, a long time ago. In fact, my mother even actually performed with a sort of a dramatic society there. I think it was last used in the sort of 60s.
Right.
Yes. I don't think after that at all. And it very much went into decline.
And we've talked a lot about the inaccessibility, if one wants to put it like that, of the area.
Yes, this is a perfectly right. Mind you,
many people like that though, don't they? Because
do.
It kind of keeps it.
It keeps it. Yes, it keeps it. Well, quiet in a way. But when I was a boy growing up in Muswell Hill, Muswell Hill Crouchend, there were very few cars.
Yeah.
It's extraordinary. I mean, my mother and a doctor in where we lived on the Rookfield estate were the only two people to have cars. It's extraordinary. Now you can hardly park there.
Does that mean that the people who lived in that area would have tended to stay and work in that area, or would they have commuted into town?
No, commuted into town, because again, when I was, sorry, I keep saying this, but when I was a boy, there was a railway station at the top of Muswell Hill where my father used to...
Because that closed in the 60s,
didn't
it?
It did indeed. But my father used to go, he used to get the train to Finsbury Park and then get into the city.
Yeah. What about the art college? Because that was another of the very defining kind of elements of the area back in the 60s, wasn't it?
It was, and the sort of riot there, yes. Which, of course, followed on from, French riots all over Europe,
yeah.
Of course. Yeah. It didn't actually last that long, but it was very significant at the time.
But not just the riot. I mean, what it did do is it led to a sort of an influx of people of an artistic bent into the area.
It certainly did, and also into Muswell Hill. We mentioned the Kinks, of course. Yeah. I mean, we're very proud of them.
I should think so too. Yeah. Now, is it true you've just made a film about the area?
Yes. Well, we didn't. A man called Harvey Marcus. Has made a film about Crouch End, interviewing individual shopkeepers, and is a really marvellous record of the area and people who, in a few years' time, probably won't be there.
And is it still an area of independent shops rather than the chains?
Oh, yes, it is. But of course, and Muswell Hill has got quite a lot of independent shops.
Has it?
As of course, bits of the Hornsey or Haringey area, I still want to call it Hornsey, the Haringey area of Highgate.
Do you think of Ali Pali as your own? Is that sort of part of your...
Well, of course, yes. I mean, it's very significant, Ali Pali. And of course, the theatre has just been restored.
Yeah, which is fantastic.
Absolutely marvellous. I mean, technically... Ali Pali was in Wood Green. It wasn't actually in Hornsey.
Right.
But we've commandeered it.
And you have the farmer's market there, don't you?
Yes. Oh, yes, yes. It's a great place, and thank goodness it was saved. I mean, another place that was under, you know, under, had problems, was, you know, anything could have happened there.
And there is the mystery of why... This part of London has more coffee shops than anywhere else. Are the people particularly lacking in a bit of get up and go? Do they need a coffee to get them going?
I know it is extraordinary, but I think that this is true of every area. It's not. I don't think it's particularly true of Crouch End or Muswell Hill. They're springing up everywhere. I think it's quite a profitable business, you know, selling coffee.
I think it certainly is. If people haven't ever been to the area, but they sort of think, oh, I'd like to go and have an explore, where would you say what's the best way to get out where and go walking where? Give us a little kind of itinerary.
Well, I would start, and not actually in Haringey, I would perhaps go to somewhere like East Finchley Station.
Right.
And then walk along Fortis Green Road, which is of course Haringey, where there's some very interesting houses along there, and of course in the roads going off, and of course that's where the Kinks started.
Yep.
In the Clis Old Arms there, and then walk through Muswell Hill, which is fascinating. You've got a marvellous church, of course, and very interesting shops. The architecture is fascinating. And, of course, we've got, the Old Odeon there, which is, again, a marvellous example.
Is that the Odeon Muswell Hill?
Muswell Hill, yes.
Yeah, that was a big one, wasn't it?
Yes, it's not called that now, but no. It's a wonderful building. And if people... just walk in, which they're allowed to do, and have a look round. It's a marvellous deco building. So that is very important. But it's just a fascinating area to walk around with wonderful views. And then I would suggest they walk down Muswell Hill rather than up it, as your poor cyclist was...
I'm the poor cyclist. I have to do that on a regular basis.
Yeah. Oh, right. I didn't realise that.
On a Sunday morning, I often go and do the 10 hills of North London, including Muswell Hill. Gosh. And all the ways up Highgate and Ali Pali and all of those.
Oh, well, that's why you look so fit, of course. and walk down... and walk into Crouch End. But also, when you walk through Crouch End, of course, just walk into Stroud Green, which actually is Islington. But right at the bottom of Crouch Hill, you've got that wonderful dairy. I don't know if you know that. With the most marvellous plaques on the wall showing Victorian milking.
Oh, I know the one you mean, yes.
It's absolutely marvellous. Unfortunately, that's just in Islington. They commandeered it from us, of course.
Well, do you stretch over as far as Suicide Bridge, to that sort of side?
Yes, we do, because that's the Haringey part of Highgate.
Right.
Highgate is divided into two. Camden to the right, Haringey to the left, or yes, I want to call it Haringey. And of course, down at the bottom, you've got Islington.
Yeah, because the area, it's like that, isn't it? It's kind of different bits of it have very different characters, and yet it's all horns.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I mean, this is, you know, we encourage, perhaps I could tell you a little bit about the activities.
Please do.
Of the Horns Historical Society, because we have at the moment 40 books in publication.
Wow.
We publish a lot, and we also do
And do you have a very large active membership?
Well, about we're always trying to get up to the magic 500, but it's about 450.
That's pretty
moment.
Good going, though.
It is. But of course, it's like all societies now. The work is done by a few dedicated people, and I think this is typical of every activity now. This is what I hear. I mean, unfortunately, through ill health, we've just lost our secretary.
Look, you know. And do you have meetings?
Oh yes, yes. We have a committee meeting once a month, and then we have publication meetings, because you see we publish an annual bulletin, four time a year newsletter. But of course, we have many activities. I mean, we do.
And do you ever adjourn to the pub?
Well, as often as we can.
Which pub would you take us to?
I suppose the Haringey Arms isn't it? But of course, the Queen's. You know? Do you know the Queen's?
No, I don't.
That's in Tottenham Lane. That's got the most wonderful stained glass.
Right.
And that again, you were talking about people looking at various. Places that shouldn't be missed, because the stained glass is wonderful.
It is a fascinating part of London, and yes. I'm very, very glad you came in to tell us more about it. How can people find out more about the Hornsey Historical Society?
Right. Can I give you, we've just created an absolutely stunning website.
Please do.
And that's www.hornseyhistorical.org.uk.
And we've been hearing about that from Keith Fawkes. Keith, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.